Let's turn in our Bibles to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. We were talking during the break and was reminded of how it is the gospel preacher's responsibility is to speak comfort to God's people. Be of good cheer. I believe God. comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem. Tell them their warfare is accomplished. Their iniquity has been put away. they've been saved by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that we will leave here. Now, I have no interest in speaking a false hope to the unbeliever. Someone has said we comfort the believer and we discomfort the unbeliever. The gospel does that. I hope that it will have that effect. But I hope that as believers, we will be able to leave here with some hope and comfort of our salvation. Judges chapter 13. Manoah and his wife, the woman, have been given a promise from God that they would bring, that Manoah's wife would bear a child. She was barren, but that she was going to be given a child and that this child would be a Nazarite. We know that this child becomes Samson, a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ that we'll get into in the next couple of weeks. But after having seen the Lord, Manoah is convinced that God's going to kill him. And this is often the case in the scriptures. You remember in Isaiah chapter 6, when in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. I saw him. He was high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. The seraphim flew over him and they cried, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth is filled with his glory. And Isaiah said, Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory. Surely I'm going to die. And one of the seraphims took his tongs and went to the altar and got one of those hot coals off the altar and touched Isaiah's lips with that hot coal and told him, Your sins have been purged. You're not going to die. You're not going to die. That's the only hope we have, to stand in the presence of a holy God. We'd be killed, not just physically, but spiritually. In the day in which you sin, you shall surely die. Death is the penalty for sin. And there's no exceptions to it. No exemptions. We can't appeal for a lesser charge. We can't say, well, Lord, you know, but maybe it doesn't have to be eternal death. No, that is the penalty for sin. And so when a man stands or finds himself standing in the presence of a holy God, if he doesn't have that hot coal from off the altar, if he doesn't have an advocate with the Father, if he doesn't have a sacrifice that is acceptable to God, then no man, the Lord told Moses on Mount Sinai, can see me and live. He must die. He must die. And that's what Manoah thought. Men go through life thinking that they will be able to stand in the presence of God. And that they will pass the muster. That they will not be judged and condemned to hell. And most men would reason that if there is a hell, surely it's not for someone like me. Surely God wouldn't send me there. If you've ever stood in the presence of a holy God, you will come to the same conclusion Manoah came to. You will come to the same conclusion that Isaiah came to. You will say, "Mine eyes have seen the King. Surely I'm a dead man. Surely I'm worthy of hell. Surely if God gives me what I deserve, that's where I'm going to go." That's exactly what Manoah... See, this is not the natural response of the unbeliever, is it? Unbelievers don't believe that about themselves. I'm asking you a simple question. Do you believe, left to yourself, that you are hell deserving? That if God gave you what you deserve, that you would go to hell? Do you believe that about yourself? If God's made you to be a sinner... You see, that's the problem. Most men aren't sinners, are they? Why? Because they have done what the Lord said men would do by nature. You thought that I was altogether such a one as yourself. They have brought God down from his holy throne, and they have made him to be like themselves. And so they've reasoned a way to reconcile with him through their works or through their helps or through some other means. And they do not believe. Manoah saw the Lord, and he said to his wife, "We're going to die. We're going to die." And the answer that his wife gave to her husband is a good answer. It's the answer that you and I need to hear. And it is the proof of our salvation. That's what I want us to leave here with this morning. Proof of our salvation. Not proof in anything that we've done. Not proof in anything that we're looking to in our own lives. We're not going to stand before a holy God and say, "Oh Lord, we've done many wonderful works in thy name." No, when the Lord does commend his people on the day of judgment, and when he does say to them, "I was hungry and you fed me, and I was naked and you clothed me, and I was in prison and you visited me, and I was a stranger and you took me in." What do the believers say? "Lord, when did we do that? When did we see you like that? Well, we've not taken note. We're just unprofitable servants. In that you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." The Lord rewards his children. But they're not looking for that reward based on something that they've done. They're looking for that reward based on what he has done. This is the word of hope. Men have a false notion of God. That's the bottom line. They don't believe that God is God. If the Lord's ever pleased to show himself, even a glimpse of his glory, you'll know. If he doesn't do something for you, you'll go to hell. You'll go to hell not just for the things that you're ashamed of. You'll go to hell for the best thing you ever did. You'll go to hell for that. Verse 23 of Judges chapter 13. Let's begin in verse 22. "And Manoah said unto his wife, 'We shall surely die because we've seen God.'" We shall surely die because we've seen God. You remember when Moses was on Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 33? And Moses said, "Oh Lord, I want to see your glory. Let me behold your face. I want to see your glory." Moses had seen so many demonstrations of God's power. He saw the plagues in Egypt. He saw the dividing of the Red Sea. He saw the water come from the rock and the manna fall from heaven. And all of these glorious demonstrations of God's power. He wanted to see the Lord's face. And the Lord said to Moses, "No man can see me and live. No man can see me and live. But there is a place near unto me." There's a cave, there's a cleft in the rock, and I'll put you in the cleft of that rock, and I'll cover it up with my hand, and I'll cause my goodness to pass before thee. And you'll see my hind part, my backside. You'll see me based on where I've been and what I've done. And that'll be the revelation of my face to you. You know, two things about that. If we're to see the face of God, we must die to ourselves. We must die to any hope of righteousness that we have in and of ourselves. No man can see me and live. And we must be hid in Christ if we're to stand in the presence of a holy God. Manoah said, "We shall surely die. We shall surely die." You know, you think about that first time that statement was made, it was made by Satan in the garden. When Satan tempted Eve to take of the fruit that was forbidden of her to eat of, and Eve said, "Oh no, the Lord said in the day in which we eat of the tree of the knowledge of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, we shall surely die." And what did Satan say? "You shall not surely die. You shall not surely die." Satan's been propagating that lie ever since. Here's what the natural man doesn't believe. He doesn't believe that he's worthy of death. He doesn't believe that he's worthy of hell. He believes the lie of Satan. "You shall not surely die. If there is a hell, it's surely not for someone like you. I mean, look at your life." Manoah said, "We've seen God. We're going to die. We're going to die." And his wife gave him a word of hope. And that's the word of hope I want to give you this morning. That's the comfort. That's the peace that believers have. That we shall not surely die. It's not based on the lie of Satan. It's based on the promise of God. But his wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things. Nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as this." Truth is, we are sinners, and sin is, in the presence of a holy God, worthy of death. We cannot appeal for a lesser sentence based on good behavior. Can't. Let me repeat that. You and I cannot appeal to God on a lesser sentence than death based on good behavior. Can't do it. The law is strict. God's law is rigid. It's inflexible. That's why God wrote it on tablets of stone. It cannot be changed. God requires that law to be fulfilled. He requires it to be kept. Manoah knew that he hadn't kept God's law. Manoah saw a glimpse of the glory of God and the sacrifice that he had offered to the Lord. And this, we read previous verses and we see that God took this burnt offering and this meat offering. He put it on a rock and the fire came up out of the rock and consumed the sacrifice. A picture of the death of Christ on Calvary's cross. How the fire came out of that stone. Just like those stone pots that we looked at Wednesday night in Canaan, representing the law of God. The fire came out of the law and consumed the sacrifice. And when the Lord Jesus Christ bore the sins of his people on Calvary's cross, the fire of God's justice and wrath came out of the law. The law saw sin on Christ. God Almighty had no choice but to fulfill the requirements of the law, which was death, judgment, the wrath of God. That's the burnt sacrifice. That's the burnt offering. And then after the sacrifice was consumed and the smoke is still billowing up towards the heavens, the angel of the Lord, who is the Lord Jesus Christ himself in our story, ascended into glory in that smoke, picturing how the sacrifice that Christ made on Calvary's cross made him an acceptable advocate for his people. God made him to be Lord over the living and the dead because of his faithfulness to lay down his life as a sacrifice for our sins. And then he ascended back into glory. And then he said to, you know, we see this in Acts chapter 1, the picture here. Look at verse 19 in our text. So Manoah took a kid with a burnt offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. That's all they could do is look. You know, when God's doing wondrous things, that's all you and I can do is look. Can't say anything, can't do anything. All we can do is look. Look and live. Like those children of Israel in the wilderness that were being bitten by fiery serpents. There's a picture of us in the wilderness of this world being bitten by the serpent of sin. And what did God tell Moses to do? You fashion a brazen serpent, a fiery serpent, and you put him on a pole and hold him up among the people. And anyone who looks shall live. Looks. Oh, don't you know? You can't try to kill the snakes on the ground and look to the one on the pole at the same time. If you look to the one on the pole, you gotta trust God for the ones on the ground. But isn't that what men do? They're trying to control the snakes on the ground. They won't look to Christ. That was the Lord Jesus Christ, that serpent on a pole, who was made sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Manoah and his wife could do nothing but look. They're just standing there in amazement, watching what God is doing. For it came to pass, verse 20, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that it was the angel of the Lord and said, "We shall surely die, for we've seen God." And his wife said, "No, if the Lord intended to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted that offering. He would not have accepted that sacrifice." God requires justice for sin. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and righteous is he. He requires full penalty for sin. When God revealed his law at Mount Sinai, the Lord instructed the children of Israel, "Don't touch this mountain. If a beast in the herd somehow gets out and touches the mountain, you kill it." You kill that beast if he touches. That's how holy the law of God is. And you remember shortly after that, when children of Israel in the wilderness, God's given his law, said, "You keep holy the Sabbath. You don't work on the Sabbath." And we know what that's a picture of. Don't add your works to the rest that we have in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they caught a man picking up sticks on the Sabbath day to make a fire so he could cook some food. And they brought him to Moses, and Moses didn't know what to do. Moses went to the Lord and said, "What do I do?" And he was just picking up a few sticks, making a little fire, cook a meal for dinner. God said, "Kill him. Kill him." That's how inflexible God's law is. And they slew him there in the wilderness. These are all pictures. You and I will die. We will die the death. We will die the second death. We will die the eternal death and separation from God. One day we will see Him as He is. And some, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Some will bow with the rod of His justice, smiting the back of their knee and bringing them to confess what they know is true. And they will die the eternal death. Others will die now. Die to their own righteousness, seeing that the rod of justice has fallen once and for all on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Moses was not to smite the rock twice. The rock was to be smitten once. Moses, as a picture of the law, was not able to go into the promised land because he smote the rock twice. Christ is that rock. He's the one who provided the river of water of life. And the rod of God's justice smote him once and for all. He died to fulfill the justice of God. Genesis chapter 32. We have the story of Jacob wrestling with the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord. It's a pre-incarnate appearance, a theophany, appearance of Christ, God Almighty. You remember Jacob wanted to know his name and the Lord wouldn't tell him his name. He said, "My name is secret," which is the same thing he told Manoah. He said, "Why ask you my name? It's wonderful. My name is too wonderful for you to know my name. But I'm going to change your name." After that event, the Lord touched Jacob's thigh and he spent the rest of his life limping, reminded of his weakness and of his dependence upon the Lord. And he named the place Peniel. Peniel, translated, which means the face of God. I've seen the face of God and I've lived. Why? Because the Lord's touched me with His grace. That's what Manoah's wife is saying to him. He's saying to him, the Lord wouldn't have accepted this offering, this burnt offering. He wouldn't have accepted it. And the meat offering, the burnt offering, is a picture of the justice of God for sin. And the meat offering is a picture of the righteousness of God. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus said? "My body is your meat indeed, and unless you eat of my body, there's no life in you." What was he talking about? He's talking about looking to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, lived out in the likeness of sinful flesh, as our righteousness before God. And Manoah's wife said, if the Lord was going to kill us, He wouldn't have accepted that offering. He did accept the offering. He accepted the burnt offering. He accepted the meat offering. And we can say with Jacob, we've seen God. Peniel. Seen the face of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 6. I want you to see something here. John chapter 6 at verse 44. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father." He's speaking of himself. "Then no man's seen the Father, save he that came from God. I've seen the Father." "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. Now turn over a few pages to John chapter 14. John 14. Verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? The Lord tells us, no man's seen the Father except the Son. And if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. For I and the Father are one. Whatever we're going to know about God, it's going to be revealed to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the revelation of God to his people. Let me show you that. Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look with me at verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness in creation, let there be light. For the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. And that's a picture of you and I spiritually. We are without form. We're empty. Darkness is nothing. God has to say, let there be light. And so God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Manoah and his wife saw Christ. God accepted the offering. And this was the hope that they had, that they weren't going to get killed, that they weren't going to be killed, that God would not send them to hell. Go back with me to our text. Neither would he have showed us all these things. You see that in verse 23? What did they show him? What did God show them? Well, the first thing that we see is when Manoah's wife saw the angel of the Lord. This is nothing other than the messenger of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is often revealed as the angel of the Lord. And in the New Testament, in the book of Jude, he's called the archangel, Michael. And he's not only the messenger of God, he is the message of God. He himself didn't just bring the word of God, he is the word of God. The word became flesh, and the word dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Here's what Manoah seen, Manoah and his wife. If God was going to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted that burnt offering. He wouldn't have accepted that meat offering. God did accept the offering, not your offering and my offering, but the offering that Christ made of himself on Calvary's cross. As the fire of God's wrath came out of the rock of his law and consumed him, and the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven. Oh, men of Israel, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This was exactly what happened in Acts chapter 1 when the Lord Jesus ascended off of the Mount of Olives. This same Jesus will come again in like manner. Same one. And the Lord himself tells us in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. If it were not so, I would have told you. Why would he have showed us these things if he wasn't going to save us? If he was going to kill us, he wouldn't have revealed these things to us. He would not have revealed to us the sufficiency of the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made. He would not have made us sinners. He would not have caused us to conclude that we're dead men apart from His grace. We wouldn't believe that about ourselves. We would still be going about trying to establish our own righteousness. Being ignorant of the righteousness of God would be like those Jews, not knowing that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He wouldn't have showed us these things if He was going to kill us. He wouldn't have accepted the offering if He was going to kill us. He's the angel of the Lord, and His appearance, the scripture says, His countenance was very terrible. Everything about Him was glorious. That's what the word terrible means. His appearance, His stature, His demeanor, His expression, His voice. It was nothing less than the very voice of God. It caused us to hear, caused us to know this is God speaking. This is not the word of a man. This is not the opinion of a man who tells us how. No, this is God Almighty. His appearance, His countenance was very terrible. It's the way it always is. When the Lord speaks, we're humbled. We're silenced. We let the potsherds of the earth contend with the potsherds of the earth, Isaiah said. Let those who want to debate doctrine and theology and add their yeah buts to the gospel, let them contend all they want. My mouth is shut. All I can say is amen to what God has said. God is true. Every man's a liar. If the Lord had not shown us His terrible countenance, we would be like everybody else who throws the name of Jesus around as if He was just another man. They have no fear of God. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And the truth of that is that they're not looking to the sacrifice that Christ made. They're looking to their works, thinking that somehow I can measure up. Turn to me to Romans chapter 3. I'll show you this. Romans chapter 3. Verse 17, and the way of peace have they not known. What did Manoah's wife say? If God was going to kill us, He would not have accepted the burnt offering. He would not have accepted the meat offering. He would not have accepted the sacrifice that Christ made for sin. And He would not have accepted His righteousness. If God accepted Him, then there's our hope. He would not have showed us these things. We would still be going about trying to establish our own righteousness. We would still be making our own sacrifices in hopes of appeasing the wrath of God. We would still be looking to Him as if He was just another man. But we now see that the angel of the Lord's countenance is very terrible. And we're brought to bow before Him and to die to ourselves and to give up any hope of trying to earn favor with God by our own works. And that stands in contrast to what the Lord's telling us here. Look at verse 17. And the way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, that there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? There's no boasting. Manoah's wife said, "Honey, if God was going to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted that burnt offering. He wouldn't have accepted that meat offering. He would not have showed us these things. We would not have seen the fire come out of the rock and consume the sacrifice. We would not have seen the angel of the Lord ascend into heaven and take his rightful place at the right hand of God. We would not have seen the terrible countenance of this angel. We would not have been brought to the end of ourselves. We would still be trusting in our righteousness for the hope of our salvation. The fact that he showed us these things is evidence that he's not going to kill us." All they could do was look on. When it comes to the sacrifice for sin, all faith can do is look. That's all it can do. Can't do anything else. Just look. Look and live. I show you this verse. Turn with me to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, you have to see this. This is wonderful. David is writing in Psalm 40 prophetically as a type of Christ. David, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David. So look what David says in Psalm 40 at verse 12. "For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up." Now that's the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, bearing the sins of God's people, saying, "I can't look up." When the Lord Jesus Christ cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He didn't raise his head and his eyes into heaven and speak it with complaint. He bowed his head when he was saying that. Scripture says, right here, "I can't look up. My iniquities have overcome me." He's calling our sin his sin, bearing them in his body so that he cannot look up. You and I are able to look up. We can look right into the throne of grace. We can come boldly before the throne of grace, knowing that God Almighty accepted the sacrifice. The fire came out of the rock. Christ has ascended into glory. He's shown us what we are, and he's shown us who he is. Now we can come before the throne of grace with boldness and find grace to help in our time of need. The Lord said, "Come, come. I bore that shame. I put away that sin. You don't have to worry about God killing you anymore." The Lord killed his son. It pleased God to bruise him. The Lord Jesus Christ bore that. He wouldn't have told us these things. He wouldn't have told us that we were going to have a child. and that this child was going to be a Nazarite. You see, they believed God. It goes back to what we saw in Acts chapter 27, isn't it? All this, these two messages, just that was the same message. Same message. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Paul said, be of good cheer, I believe God. We have no other evidence. They had the promise of God, and you and I, that's what we have. The promise of God. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I go and prepare a place for you. He's not going to lose a single one of his sheep. He'd made himself a sacrifice for sin once and for all. To the Father. It is finished. It is finished. He is the surety for his elect people. He's the sin bearer. He's the sacrifice for sin. He's the one that God is pleased with. And Manoah's wife is saying to me and you, God's not going to kill you. If he was, he wouldn't have accepted that sacrifice. He wouldn't have shown you these things. And he would not have said to you what he has said to you. He said, well, how do I know these promises are for me? How do I know what God has said, but how do I know they're for me? Because you believe them. That's it. Faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. That's it. I can do nothing but just believe God. I can do nothing but look. Can do nothing but believe God. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I believe that these 66 books written over 1,500 years by 40 different penmen is nothing less than the inspired Word of God. I believe God. Got no place else to go. God has shut me up. His countenance to me is terrible. I just believe God. That's the evidence. Honey, God was going to kill us. He wouldn't have accepted this sacrifice. He wouldn't have shown us how terrible his countenance is and how sinful we are. He wouldn't have caused us to believe what he has said. We wouldn't be putting our hope in Christ. We'd be going about trying to establish our own righteousness. There's the proof of our salvation. The only proof we have. What wonderful, sure proof it is. All other proof is a false hope. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the sacrifice for sin. Thank you for the hope of salvation. Thank you for faith, your Holy Spirit. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for accepting the sacrifice that Christ made. And the hope that you give us in knowing that we shall not surely die. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 268. Let's stand together. Number 268.